Hallelujah. Well, we started a series last week called, it's about Kingdom Seed, the seed. And we started out in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. And it said it this way, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Yes. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. That right there alone should help us tremendously. Okay, let's put it this way. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why do we know this? Because Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6 says this, Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, Jesus is. But who's Jesus? Well, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? Then we drop down to the 14th verse of that chapter, John chapter 1, and it says, and the Word became flesh, and we beheld His glory. He was the Son, the begotten, the Son of the Father, right? His name is Jesus. What's His name? Jesus. So Jesus is the Word. So if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then the Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Word is seed. We are in a society that if you want to know something, you can get it pretty much instantaneous. We've gone to an instant society, right? Instant coffee, microwavable meals, right? Fast food is what we call it, unless you go to Chick-fil-A, because there's always a line, amen? It's the Lord's chicken. That's what I keep hearing my guy say, the Lord's chicken. Anyway, you know, we're just, you know, if you want to know information, you don't have to go to news outlets anymore. Man, you get stuff through Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. You know, you're getting information bombarded. You know, if you want to know something, you just Google it, right? Come on, y'all with me? Yeah. I mean, we want instantaneous. We were talking, Chase and I, we were flying back from Tulsa from the men's conference. And he says, because we were looking at the coastline late at night, because, you know, you got lights and then all of a sudden it goes black. Well, that's the Atlantic. And so he said, man, you know, what would it be like if we couldn't fly? That wasn't available. And we had to go to these countries on a boat. I said, well, it'd take a lot more time. Right? Well, because we've gotten into transportation that's faster, quicker. You know, you can get in a plane and be around the world in less than 24 hours. Right. Amen. And really faster than that if you just didn't have to do through all their connections. All right? I remember leaving, we did a straight shot to Delhi one time, India, and we went from, I think it was New Jersey, straight to Delhi. It was a 15-hour flight. In 15 hours, I was halfway around the world. Are you with me? That's pretty quick. You know, Pastor Marcus is always like, isn't it amazing that when we woke up this morning, we were in the United States, and now we're in India. He'll always do stuff like that, you know? It's like, we are in another country right now, you know? And that's how time does. But the Word of God is seed. So that means there's always going to be, as long as you live, process. All right? Now, there are some seeds that can pop up pretty quick as far as bear fruit. There are some immediate things with the Lord. But not everything's immediate. We ministered a message, you know, some time ago, that you can apply faith when it comes to faith, because there's a scripture that says, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. So you can apply immediate when faith and patience is necessary. But now there's another time when you can receive something immediately, and you don't have to be patient because it's available right now. Salvation is one of those. We do not, when we have someone come down and we say, you know, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the grave? You want to confess Him as the Lord of your life? They say yes, and we pray with them a prayer to receive Christ as Lord. Nobody says, now listen, at some point in time, you're going to know you're a child of God. It's a process. No, we know immediately. But now immediately what takes place there is a seed's put in them. Amen. The fruit of salvation bears because the old spirit man is gone and we put in a new spirit. Hallelujah. Now, that new spirit can hear God, and now the seed of God gets planted in us. And now, the thing about salvation, though, is it's not a one-time event, That's like me going down to Home Depot. My wife and I was looking at some trees the other day. We were at Home Depot looking at some citrus trees, and some of them are already bearing fruit, which means I could grab one, put it in the ground. It'd be new to me, but already be able to pull fruit off of it immediately. But the reality is, I expect that it's going to have it in the next season. So what happens a lot of times, people come and get saved, born again, and then they think that's it. Well, that's not it. Right. Salvation will continue to produce fruit, because the word salvation means to be delivered from something. Good. You know, there's a lot of times we need to be delivered from stuff. The first thing we're delivered from is the domain of darkness. Right. Into the kingdom of his beloved son. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. But now that we're there, the devil wants to drag you back in. Right. Well, he's going to give you opportunities to drag you back in. And you need to be saved from those situations. Yes. Well, the word will save you. Yes. You can say, it is written. As Roy said at the men's conference, he said, we don't fight today with real swords like the mighty men of David's day. He said, but every time you say to the devil, it is written, he hears the sword coming out of the sheath. I like that, man. I like that. Amen? We fight the good fight of faith. And so we saw over in Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 and 19, that this seed, now the parable of this, the seed is the word of God, that this seed that is sown is actually the word of the kingdom. And if you weren't here last week, you're going to have to go online. We definitely don't have time today to show you through scripture that the Bible is about a king, his kingdom, and his royal offspring. And until you get context of this kingdom we're in, not a religion, not this Jesus came, died, rose from the grave, he sits up there with dad, all right? And he talks to just humanity about get born again so when you die, you come to me. Jesus is not having that conversation. Jesus is saying, get born again so I can put my spirit in you and I can bring all of the kingdom down to you. That's what he's saying. That's what he desired. Then he says, now, as I bring the kingdom down to you and you do what I've asked you to do, is I plant these seeds in you and they begin to break forth, bring a plant that then eventually produces fruit that at that point can reproduce after its own kind. So you can continue this process. As long as you're alive, the kingdom will continue to produce in your life. And then when you're done with your assignment, you'll be with me here. But I'm with you down there. Amen. Hallelujah. This is more exciting than you're looking at right now. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, so seed is the potential of something hidden within. This is an avocado seed. All right, in case you didn't know that, some do. And the reason why we call it avocado seed is not because of the seed, but because of the fruit.
Come on.
Now, this particular avocado seed, because I had three last week, I had it in a Ziploc bag and it stayed on my desk. It has already tried to come out. This shell, as hard as it is it more powerful than what's within it? I mean, it isn't even in dirt. It was in a plastic bag that produced a little condensation, and it's like, I got to get to the water. I got to get to the source of life, and it is already trying to bust up out of here. I'm telling you, there's nothing externally that's happening in your life that what's within you doesn't want to bust out on it. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, we need to believe that, not just quote it. People quote it in their mind, but never live it in their life. Because there's circumstances that begin to crowd around your life, and this is trying to encase you. And you got to let what's within start manifesting. Amen? So we could go on and say this then, seed is the potential for harvest. All right? If you have no seed, you are guaranteed no harvest. No seed, no harvest, period. It's a law. Period. It's a law. Okay? But just because you have seed doesn't mean you'll actually have harvest. Because you can have seed, and if you don't deal with the seed properly, then the seed will not release what's hidden within. And it's not the seed's fault. I said it's not the seed's fault. The seed will do what it was designed to do. That's why the word of God says this. The Lord said, I have sent my word. He said, when I sent my word, he said, it will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which it was sent to do, which means there's something inherent within it that when it gets in the environment, it will do what it was designed to do. This avocado, if I deal with this seed properly, it will develop a tree. Are you with me? And this tree then, after 5 to 7 years, will begin to produce the fruit avocado. And it has a season where it gives a lot of fruit, and then the next season it will be less fruit. And then the next season it'll be more fruit. It's called an alternating cycle, all right? An avocado seed can grow, or a seed, the tree within this seed has the potential to grow 70 feet. That's taller than this sanctuary ceiling right now. I think if you popped the ceiling tile and finally got to the top, you'd be about 35 feet. So double is in this. And you understand, it's not going to be a twig. We're not even talking circumference here. We're not even talking about the branches here. Are you with me? Amen. That's in here. But in one of its big seasons, it has the potential to produce 500 avocados. And what is within every avocado? More seed. So the thing is that you've got to get revelation that the minute the word gets in you, it's not just a word. It is an orchard that will sustain you forever. And there is a time that when the word's in you and the seed's in you and the seed breaks forth what's on the inside, there's going to be a season by which it will eventually produce fruit. And the minute that fruit hits, if you do right by the fruit, which means you'll enjoy it, you'll give it away, but then you collect seed out of it. You can put it in the ground, and by the next season of that one word, you have other plants. Yes. And it's a multiplication effect. So again, if this one avocado grew, and in its first season at 5 years, we're going to say, produced 500 avocados, in year 6, when it produces less than 500 avocados, I will have 501 avocado trees. Because if I take all the seed from that first harvest and plant them along with the one I have. Now, the 500, they're just growing. But they have the same potential as the one who produced fruit in the fifth year. And now this one tree for the next 5 years is still producing fruit that each year I could keep planting seed. Now, you understand the multiplication of this thing. This is where we need to get this revelation. God is exceedingly abundantly... One word has the ability, the minute it starts to produce fruit in your life, if you'll replant the seed off that first word, then you'll start getting into exponential with God. This is why when people say, well, you know, I tried it. Well, what happens is you're trying something and you're not letting fruit get there. Rick Renner said this one time. He said when he was a child, he lived in West Tulsa. I never did this, so I can't use his testimony, but he did. He said he had some corn seed, and he planted them outside of his bedroom window. Right. He put them in the ground, and he watered them. Next day, woke up, looked at it, nothing. Next day, woke up, looked at it, nothing. Next day, about a week later, nothing. So he got impatient, and he went and started digging. Thought something's wrong. Well, he dug up every one of his seeds that had broke out, and the plant was coming. It just hadn't pressed through the surface yet. And he said, I destroyed my harvest because I dug my seed up too fast. Well, I tried God. The problem is that seed is the potential for harvest. Seeds always produce plants first. When a plant shows up, plant is totally different than seed. This is what happens when you're born again. When you're born again, you, the seed of the word is in you, then all of a sudden you start as a new creature. You're a new plant now. But just because you're a new plant doesn't mean you started producing the fruit of the plant you are. So the seed is the potential for harvest. Plants are the process for harvest. Plants are the process for harvest. And this is the thing. Listen, I love God. I don't want to have already arrived so that I have done everything God's called me to do. When we sign the documents to purchase them all once and for all, my life is not done. Holding that fruit in my hand is not done. Now, I will eat it, and you'll eat it, and we'll taste and see that it's good, but I'm eating it to get to the fruit seed on the inside because there's more to do now that we have the responsibility. And don't you want to walk with God that exceeds just this week? We are so impatient with God. We're like, come on, Lord, when are we? And the Lord's like, he tells us, it's not like his word has not told us. He said, it's there, I'm trying to get it out. Do not grow weary, for in due you will reap a what? Not in due season, maybe it'll be all right. It's in due season, it's going to get at least a little bit better. No. In due season, you'll reap a harvest. I have been guaranteed that harvest is mine if I don't grow weary and rip my plants up, curse my plants. Many people are going by cursing their plants. Woo, hallelujah. No, we got to water them. We'll get to that. Y'all just trying to get ahead of me. It's okay. So seed is a potential for harvest. Plants are the process for harvest. So then the next thing is fruit-bearing seed is the purpose for harvest. Fruit-bearing seed is the purpose for harvest. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them. And it was what? All right. Next verse, verse 12. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was, what was it? Good, good. Oh, it was. Yes, it was good. Then verse 13, then there was evening and there was morning, a third day. This is the third day. Now, this is what we call precedent-setting event. In Scripture, that means it's the first time something happens. And when something happens, it's a precedent-setting event, which means then everything should follow this pattern afterwards. This is the pattern God set in the earth. I said, this is the pattern God set in the earth. And this is Genesis chapter 1. This is before sin ever hit the planet. This is God's original intent. And his garden is magnificent. If you've never been down A1A to Washington Oaks and went to that state park and looked at his garden, it's beautiful. But that garden has nothing on the Garden of Eden. It has nothing on planet Earth in its original intent before sin ever entered the planet. And on the third day, God says, now listen, we've got to have some vegetation and some plants yielding seed. Notice the first thing he says in verse 11 is that he wants this vegetation and plants to do what? Yield. Seed is way more important than fruit. Seed is way more important than fruit. Woo! Thank you, Holy Ghost. and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit with, after their kind, with. God doesn't want to just bring fruit. He wants to bring fruit. See, seed is the reproduction organ of the fruit. God wants things to remain and to multiply after its own kind. God never created fruit without seed. God never created fruit without seed. Let me say that again over here. God never created fruit without seed. Only man has done that. So let's talk about seedless fruit. Seedless fruit, it's called a dipod or diploid. You can look this up yourself. The plant is a diploid, which means it has two sets of chromosomes. And so what man does is he injects a chemical to the diploid and turns it into a tetraploid, which means it becomes four sets of genes instead of the two. So then they take the tetraploid, now that man has influence with chemicals, and put a diploid, which is the seed-bearing fruit, and they cause them to cross-pollinate, which will produce a fruit of a triploid, which is basically a sterile fruit. It has seed in it, but the seed cannot produce. It genetically cuts its ability to reproduce. So when you eat the watermelon, it has the little white ones. Those are the actual seeds that have been cut off from it becomes sterile. Notice the seedless watermelon cannot exist without a seed one. It has to model traits off the diploid and the tetraploid. And the reason why the tetraploid's there, it's double what it was supposed to be chemically enhanced in order so that it can create this three-strand genetics instead of the pair. All right? So we've got this this artificially created seed-bearing fruit, a God-created in its original design seed-bearing fruit, to create an abnormal fruit that tastes the same as the real, looks the same as the real, but once you consume it, it's gone. It can't produce after its own kind. Whoo, you with me? I don't know what kind of Christian you want to be. Do you want to be a original intent believer where it's Christ in you, the hope of glory? Or do you want to be this thing that's kind of bringing in your own traditions and thought processes, and you are a little extravagant, unbalanced in your theology and doctrine, that yes, there's some seed in you, but the thing with the tetraploid seeds is it will produce seed in it, but it's very limited seed, and it's there only to create these tetraploids for the only purpose, the only reason they're out there. The only reason the tetraploid fruit bearing watermelon are there is to be able to come alongside a real one and create counterfeit ones. So we can look at it this way. This is the believer who loves God. He's the diploid one. But then you've got the Pharisee one. The one who starts with God. I'm saying he's got some seed. It's a believer that's got some seed. But the reality is they really want to be back with the world. And when they get around seed-bearing ones and they like, I go to a church that really produces fruit, but yet I still like to hang with the world. And I like that. So in essence, then, when they get around people, all they can produce out of that is but people who look like God but actually can't reproduce themselves. The Bible calls that a form of godliness. Now, there is one other way to get seedless fruit. Are you ready for this? It's called grafting. And what that means is because we are in the fallen state, somewhere along in history, a particular plant produced a sterile fruit, meaning it was abnormal, and the farmer knew it. But the convenience of not dealing with seed because seed's a nuisance. Who wants to deal with the seed? I'm enjoying the fruit, but I got that seed. I got to spit it out. Because for us, we don't value seed. Because we're not an agricultural society. Right? Because if we were in an agricultural society, we'd be like, man, I need some seed. Because this harvest is good, but I won't have nothing if I don't have seed for the next one. I don't care how big this harvest is. If I can't get any seed out of this, I got nothing. We as consumers, because that's what we are, we are what? Consumers. Think about that word for a moment. We are consumers. Maybe we should be givers. Think about that. As consumers, we don't want to have to deal with the seed. This is why we like seedless grapes. So what happens is an abnormal fruit should have been like, wow, this is abnormal. This is, and then someone, they realize, you know, you can engraft things. So what they did is they took the plant and they engrafted it into a seed-bearing plant. And it grew off the root system of a seed-bearing plant so that it could produce fruit. I was blown away. Honestly, I was a little bit blown away. When we were, again, at Home Depot, they have a citrus tree. That means it could produce up to 6 different types of citrus fruit. Yeah. Because they've engrafted them in, and there's through different seasons, it will produce different types of fruits. I'm like, this is like a monopoly, right? I mean, it's like, this is the cornucopia tree. Got limes today, getting lemons tomorrow, get a tangerine the next day, maybe it, whatever. I don't know what they all are. You can go read it for yourself. But I was like, wow, that's very interesting. Yeah, but that's not normal. Okay. Here's the thing. So basically when they engraft in, then it produces, they take off of that particular plant and graft in. And what you're doing is you're actually cloning the exact same fruit, which means you don't actually have different fruit. You have just the same fruit because genetically it's the exact same fruit. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Here's the problem. If a disease gets on your crop, now your whole crop is susceptible to it because genetically it's the exact same fruit. But when you eat a watermelon with seed in it, each seed is individually different. Which means you could plant a crop of seed and a disease could come in and affect only portions of your crop, not the whole thing, because they're not all genetically the same. That's why I don't like clone churches. Because you understand, sin is a disease. And if they're reproducing by engrafting people in, of having a, let's go to it, 2 Timothy chapter 1, or chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, it says this, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Now, let me make this statement. Man, when it comes to fruit production or for seed, man is the factor, not God, that hinders fruit production. In God's original intent, I want plants that yield seed. So they're going to bring forth fruit with seed in it. Because I want my stuff to go on for generations. God's eternal. Everything created would go on forever. And let me just say this. Planet Earth will go on forever. The Bible clearly says that. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And the word doesn't lie. So if God says there's a planet Earth, in the end, for all eternity, there is a planet Earth. And not only is there a planet Earth for all eternity, it will actually have the New Jerusalem in it that comes out of heaven. Yeah. If you'll read the back of the book. So when God created this planet, he didn't do it as a test model just so that he could run us through tests that we would ultimately just be with him in heaven. No, he's going to keep the planet. And when it's all said and done, on planet Earth, the new Earth, it's going to have vegetation and trees yielding fruit with seed in them. Hallelujah. So man is the factor. If you're not seeing something produce in your life, it's not God's fault. We are messing either with the seed or the plant. First, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 says, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Verse 2, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless. What will they be? Selah. Conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Verse 5, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. There's no power in fruit other than the seed in it. Because if the seed's not in the fruit has no power. It's consumed only. So this is what happens when believers are in the world that don't allow the seed of the word to continue to be a part of their life, so that when they start producing fruit, it will have seed in it to continue on to the next trial, tribulation, test, whatever. So when you get victory in one area and you eat the fruit, say, wow, I taste and see the Lord's good. He caused me to overcome. But yet you don't have seed in the ground for the next thing. You got to allow the transforming power of God to change you so that you can actually produce what has been deposited in you when you got born again. And it's your responsibility, not God's. Just like it was your responsibility to get born again in the first place. Christ has already paid the price once and for all. It's done, settled, finished. Yet you don't receive it until you receive it by faith. God doesn't put salvation in you. But you're just going to get born again. I don't want you to die and go to hell. God don't want anybody to die and go to hell. But everybody chooses to die and go to hell. That chooses to go. Because the Lord says, here's the plan. Receive the seed.
Yes.
Take it by faith. We'll talk about what that seed really is. Can't do it today. Receive that seed into you. But you've got to take the responsibility and say, I'm going to do that. Then when that happens, now you've got the whole kingdom on the inside of you. And the whole kingdom is going to produce through your lifetime.
Yes.
It is not a one-time event. This is not Jack and the Beanstalk, guys. I threw my seed out, woke up the next morning, went up to the sky, went to heaven. I climbed that thing. So what we're like, we want fairy tale stuff. When God's very clear of how his kingdom works, how this thing works, and that if we would just focus on how he does it, how he's originally designed it, man, we'll have the greatest successful life ever.
Yes.
Anytime something's going on in my life, man, and I hadn't seen the fruit of something happen, I just let the devil know, got plenty of plants in the ground, they will bear fruit.
Yes.
I'll get in the season. You can't stop the season. The devil can't stop the season. Only I can stop the season. Only I can stop the season. The devil can't stop the season. So they have a form of godliness, although they deny its power. Look, avoid such men as these. Now, you got to understand the context of this, because again, when you read this, it's very, I mean, your first thought literally would go, in the last days, it's going to be difficult times. Look at all these people. Well, sure, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. You know, they're trying to work out God themselves. They're trying to do it, you know, themselves, right? And so they just need Jesus. Well, is this only lost people he's talking about? Well, let's go back to the previous chapter, in chapter 2. So you got to get context.
That's right.
I said you have to get context. So if we back up a chapter to 2 Timothy 2, starting in verse 19, he says it this way. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands having this seal. The Lord knows who are his, and everyone whose name, everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness.
Yes.
Go back to verse 19. Let's just look at that together. Let this word get into your spirit. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his.
Yes.
And everyone whose names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Now, there's an implication here that you could name the name of the Lord and not abstain. You could have seed in you and yet still try to live wicked. Let's go on. We'll keep going. Verse 20 says this. Then he goes and gives this example. Now in a large house. Well, whose house you think this is? Okay. Now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. Therefore, if anyone... Conditional statement. If anyone cleanses himself from these things. Well, I thought God forgave you of all your sin. Well, he did. And your spirit man now is alive to God. But now you must renew your mind and get learned behavior that comes from the Spirit as the Holy Ghost teaches you and allows the plant of life. We could call it the tree of life, to manifest in your life so that the fruit of this born again experience we just had will actually show fruit in life. If you read Paul's epistles to the churches, not to the world, but to the churches, he is saying this in the spirit of grace. Guys, you used to do, now we do. You used to behave, now we behave.
Right, right.
And he's saying this, now the one in you causes you to be able to live this actual existence.
Amen.
You tried to live it by yourself, that was a wreck. Didn't work. Don't take a free gift and squander it so that you can go back living like you used to, saying, but I got the blood. Can't do that. No, Paul's very clear. Hey, this is the culture of the kingdom. Because this is what God expected to come from him. What would bear fruit when you're engrafted in Christ? And when you bear fruit, you're not bearing fruit. You're bearing fruit with seed in it. And so he's saying, and Paul said this. He said, guys, man, I'm in prayer for you because I'm concerned that I've come and labored in vain, that the devil may have come and taken you away from the seed I sowed in you, so that basically you got the, and that was his chastisement in Galatians 3 was to the church. He said, now tell me this, did you start this thing in the spirit or the flesh? Because you got this thing in the spirit, and now all of a sudden you're like having a form of godliness, not letting the love of God. You just going back to, okay, I'm going to do it now. No, you are to do it in the spirit of love.
Yes.
By the leading of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Because you love him. And that's why you're doing these things. So therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, so that's our responsibility. That means God can't do it. God's done everything he can do. Now it's on us. Listen, God did everything he... God does not come down... God does not come down and say, can I have that seed? I need to put it in the ground. It's already in here. He spoke it into this plant. And now from the third day, guys, the third day, he spoke this seed into existence. And when he did, he spoke it into existence out of a plant first. He had a plant show up with the fruit and the seed was in it. Now, he don't have to speak to the avocado again. Because the power has been there since day three of creation. And you put this thing in the environment God designed it to be in, it will come out because it has heard God. I said it's heard God. And it will. It's right now has heard the voice of God on the third day of creation and is still trying to produce what God told it to produce on the third day, although we are thousands upon thousands of years beyond the third day of creation. This thing still hears the voice of God. And if it can hear the voice of God, how much more us who are born of the Spirit of God? Don't tell me you can't hear God. Don't tell me you don't know what to do. Don't tell me you don't know how to behave. Don't tell me you don't know how to act. If God put himself in you, he knows how to act. He knows how to perform. He knows how to bear fruit. I don't care how much I talk to this avocado. You are an orange.
Come on.
Come on.
The avocado's like, bro, I don't know who you are, but I'm an avocado.
Right.
Right? Yeah, the avocado's not having an identity crisis. Okay, let's go. So if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Then he says in verse 22, now flee. Again, who's responsible for fleeing? Paul's telling Timothy, now flee. He's not saying, man, don't do anything. God will take you away from this stuff. No, he's like, man, I know what's in you. Now flee. He said, now flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness. So you have to leave something and pursue something.
Yes.
See, I left a lifestyle. Now I pursue a lifestyle.
Yes.
And I pursue it because I know what Jesus did for me.
That's right.
I know where he's brought me. And I know what he did for me in June of 1979. I know what he did for me in 1991 when my wife and I were in a Baptist church in Gainesville and said, that's it. We're done doing our stupidity. We got seed in us and it's squandered because it sure ain't producing the fruit of the kingdom. And we're going to follow you, God. Well, all of a sudden that seed said, finally, let me get a plant, start going. And on that day, a plant started. And that plant produced some fruit. And I thought the fruit was pretty good till I went to Rhema and realized Rhema started pruning my plant and saying, I'm like, my gosh, there's so much more in here. There's so much more in here. There's so much more. And each truth, I'm like, how could I go back? How could I ever go back? I mean, I know what it's like to be born again but not have the power of the Holy Ghost. He's in me, but I don't let him express himself. I don't understand it. But the minute the word was revealed to me and I realized I could be baptized in the Holy Ghost and I get the language of the kingdom, my gosh, man, and it gives me power. Well, then when I receive that, now that thing's been producing in me and I've never gone back to not speaking in tongues. Then I found out I have faith. I have the authority of the believer. Are you serious that I am not, I don't have to be sick now because he's already healed me? That I can actually do something about this? That the devil is actually really defeated and I actually have a say in him coming around and messing with me? I've never gone back. Yeah. Randy and Melanie picked us up from the airport last night. And we were talking, you know, about services and stuff. And I don't know how we got on the baptism of the Holy Spirit deal. Somehow we did. And next thing you know, Melanie was just talking about how she had heard from her relatives, you're never to be around Rhema. That's what it was. Don't ever be around Rhema. You know, they speak about the devil and all this kind of stuff, which was not true. You know, it's just people ignorant, so they don't know what to say. So religious people, you know, condemn God's wisdom. So anyway, with that, you know, she put things on a shelf and then she goes out on a date with Randy the first time and she says to him, you know, where you go to church? And he ends up telling her where he goes. She goes, what do you know about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? So he goes, well, this is probably a short date. So he explains to her. She goes home, reads everything he taught her in the car, first date ever. And at 18 years old, she gets on her knees and said, Lord, I've read everything you said. I want what you have. And she said, I received it in my house right then. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And they said this about, you know, because she had said a relative said that tongues was of the devil. And she said, I always loved how Pastor David Emi, my pastor, used to be my pastor when we went on to be the Lord. Pastor David said, tongues is not of the devil. He said, I ran with the devil for years. I was in bars. I was doing drugs. I never heard anyone speaking in tongues ever. I mean, think. I mean, you know some rough people. You hear them coming to work going, no, they don't know that language. Oh, it's foreign to them. They don't have the power of God in them. No, that's what the devil tells the religious because he don't want them to have the potential of the seed because he knows I can keep them ignorant and there's going to get a time they won't know how they ought to pray. And since they don't have the Holy Ghost in them, they don't have the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they won't shift over into the Spirit. Then they can't have access to the gifts of the Spirit. And they won't be able to go to work and say, I saw you last night here, da-da-da, and a word of knowledge starts showing up to your coworker. That now that coworker's like, you're God's, the God of all creation. I'm going to worship Jesus. That's why they don't want you to have it. So you don't want the fruit that can come out of you praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's go on. I love you guys, man. Seriously, I just love the word, man. And I'm thankful that you pull on it. You know, I got to shut down. You got to shut down, you know, but it's, the word is so good. So now flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, which means this. Righteousness, faith, love, and peace don't just automatically show up without a pursuit. Now, it's in you, but you got to release it. Again, God does not hinder fruit-bearing seed. Man does. Okay? Verse 23, but refuse. So who's responsible here? you are, but refuse foolish and arrogant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correct those who are in opposition. So correcting comes. Yeah. Well, you know, I just don't want to say something, you know, don't want to get them upset. You're wrong. Yeah. Now, you can do what you want to do, but you're wrong. Okay. And if you keep this course, no fruit, no seed. We just want you to produce fruit with seed in it. All right? If perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of truth, that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. So then we get into the third chapter. Now in the last days, there'll be difficult times. So what's he saying? Believers can get trapped again by the enemy. And why would he? Listen, you think, well, I'm born again. I'm going to go to heaven. Why would the devil want to mess with me? Because he's afraid of you bearing fruit. Because he knew this. God doesn't put seed in them just to give them seed. Because it ain't about seed alone, because seed must produce. It's in seed. It's like God. God is love. So love has to give. That's why he produced after his own kind and made us. So guess what? He wants us to produce after our own kind, and our kind is in him. So I'm supposed to produce him. That's what I'm supposed to do. So when God's in me, there is a fruit. And say, God's in me. Come on, say, God's in me. So since God's in you, Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23 should come out of you. But the fruit of the Spirit is. Hallelujah. What's the fruit of the Spirit? It's love. What's first?
Love.
What's first?
Love.
Love's first. Ah, that's why you got to cultivate love in your life. Why? Because it is the forest floor by which all things of the kingdom come out of and grow out of and flourish and are fruitful. Love is the environment by which fruit is able to be produced by the plants. If love's not there, it's just a plant. It can be transformed out of the seed, but a plant's no good without fruit. There's no reason for the plant without the fruit. God doesn't want green plants. He wants fruit-bearing plants with seed in their fruit. That was his intent. So when the fruit of joy, love, shows up, guess what? Someone tastes the love that you have, but when they do, they got to deal with your seed. Joy. This is why if you have a form of godliness, you may be around somebody with the appearance of the love of God, and after they consume you, they aren't changed. Joy is a fruit. Peace is a fruit. Patience is, I just can't be patient. Well, there's a plant problem. You're having a problem. You are doing something that is trying to hinder what God placed in the seed. And God placed himself in you. Okay, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Look at these things, man. Gentleness. Self-control. Self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Meaning, you want freedom in your life, produce this. There is no existence higher. There is no behavior higher. There is no joy outside of it. You can laugh, but still have no joy. Laughing is not joy. Joy has to come by the Spirit. Now, it will produce laughter. I don't have a problem. But if it ain't connected to the Spirit, then it is a fruitless laugh. People go to little nightclubs and go to little comedy clubs, and they get drunk on a different spirit and get their minds intoxicated by different spirits and then laugh and like, oh, everything's great. And for that moment, and they produce this seemingly great fruit of joy and leave and had great time, but then wake up in the morning hungover, sick, maybe even what happened to my body last night when I couldn't remember what took place. empty on the inside. And so they keep running after fruitless or seedless fruit, which is a counterfeit to what God wanted. I want all this without having to deal with the seed. But not with you. Say, not with me. Oh, man, we have the Spirit of God in us, which means these fruits are there. And when the Spirit of God produces these fruit, according to original design, it will have seed in them, that your life becomes really so contagious. Yep. Yes. There's an old song we used to sing, man. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. No, no, no. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. No, no, no. The world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. But you can give it away.
Yeah.
I said, you can give it away.
Yeah.
But they can't take it away. You can dig your seed. You can snatch your plant. When joy was always in the vine. If you just bear up under that word and say, that seed's in me. This is going to come to pass. I'm going to have it. Ha, ha, ha. I said, ha, ha, ha. Right? It's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. So again, God placed in us, and we'll see it next week, an incorruptible seed. That will produce after its own kind. It's called the God kind of seed. And that when the God kind of seed bears fruit, it bears fruit with seed in it, which means when you walk in love, then you plant the seed of love. When you walk in joy, you plant the seed of joy. When you walk in kindness, you plant the seed of kindness. These aren't just random man-made acts. No, you actually make a difference. They leave and something begins to grow in them and they can't get away from it. If your relationships doesn't cause something to want to stir in somebody, cause something to want to grow in somebody, where they got to make a conscious choice, I got to get this out of me. Because if I don't deal with what they just put in me, I'm going to become what they are. I mean, you should be so full of God that when people are around you, you plant the seed of God in them. And when they walk away, it's like God's walking to their house, telling them about their life, telling them how he wants to change them, telling them how he wants to make them better. But I'm telling you, when he's talking about to be better, you're going to feel a little bad because you're going to realize your efforts fell short of God. But man, when you say, thank you for the seed, God, thank you for the Holy Ghost, thank you for the fruits of the Spirit, thank you, Lord, that I can have the character and life of God, and it produce a fruit in my life that when I'm around somebody, they're like, why are you happy all the time? Why you have joy all the time? How come you seem to be so patient in this? Why come you under such self-control? How come you always want, you're so gentle in that situation. How come you didn't have an outburst of anger? Well, I'm producing after my own kind. How come you ain't offended right now? Because I'm walking in love. It's already there. All you got to do is release it.